Welcome to Courtside, everyone, a discussion of legal issues. Today, I want to talk about something I've been warning about for a long time, which is the United States Supreme Court getting back into the abortion fray. The Supreme Court 6 days ago agreed to hear a major case out of Mississippi, one that really does truly threaten the viability of Roe versus Wade. Now, there are endless ways to criticize abortion bans. You can call them cruel, paternalistic, hypocritical. But the one criticism that's always stuck and that conservatives can't ignore is that they are unconstitutional. Without that in their way, it's open season on reproductive rights, which is why the Supreme Court's decision is so important. Now, at stake, just so we're all on the same page, is not the Supreme Court will outlaw abortion when they hear this case. The Supreme Court can't do that. They have the power of judicial review and only the power of judicial review. And that means they have the power to review a law passed by someone else and say, up or down, it's constitutional or it's not constitutional, that it's permissible for a state to enact this law or not. So, for example, in Roe versus Wade, in 1973, the Supreme Court, in a 7-2 decision, said that a law passed in Texas by the legislature was unconstitutional, that even though it had popular support, it was a violation of fundamental rights and the legislature couldn't do it. That law criminalized abortion. The Supreme Court said, you can't do that. You can't restrict abortion, at least using the trimester framework, so you can't do it until the point of viability, which is usually in the 23rd or 24th week. That's been the law for about 50 years. But the state of Mississippi has now come along and said, nope, we're going to ban abortion after 15 weeks. And Texas, for its part, not wanting to be outdone, outlaws abortion now after 6 weeks. The Supreme Court has the power to review these laws and say they're okay, they're not okay, the like. And that's where the law has been for these last 48 years, which is these laws would be declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. Now, the most important thing you need to know about the action this week is that the Supreme Court doesn't have to hear any case. They get about 10,000 requests a year to hear cases. They hear about 65 cases out of those 10,000 requests. So, like, if you're a high school kid, it's easier to get into Stanford than it is to, like, get your case heard by the United States Supreme Court. But the justices agreed to hear this case, and they're going to hear it next fall and decide it by the summer of 2022. Now, this was a case in which the lower courts found it obviously unconstitutional, the Mississippi law. The district court judge in Mississippi said so. The very conservative Court of Appeals, the Fifth Circuit, with exceptionally conservative judges, said so as well. Indeed, Patrick Higginbotham wrote the opinion for the Court of Appeals. He is very, very conservative, and he said the following, quote, "In an unbroken line dating to Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court's abortion cases have established and affirmed and reaffirmed a woman's right to choose an abortion before viability." But that didn't stop Mississippi from enacting this law. They knew this would be the result. They knew they'd lose in the trial court. They knew they'd lose in the Court of Appeals. Indeed, they knew they would lose in the Court of Appeals so much, they didn't even want to have an oral argument in the Court of Appeals. They wanted to skip that, because they knew what their chances were. Put differently, this Mississippi abortion law hasn't had a chance of success in any lower court since the year 1973. And if you pass a bunch of laws after a shift in the composition of the Supreme Court, it's not because the law has changed. It's because the politics have. And if you're someone invested in the reputation of the court as an institution, that is a very dangerous calculus to legitimate. And look, if Mississippi were really interested in protecting human dignity, why is it harder to, like, vote than it is to buy an assault rifle in the state? Same with Texas. I mean, at this point, it looks like there are three types of Republicans in the Texas legislature. The ones who think that The Handmaid's Tale is like an instruction manual, the one who thinks that Offred complains too much, and the ones who have never read a book written by a woman. None of these folks should be making decisions about reproductive rights. Now, calling this case, as I know many in the media have, a potential weakening of Roe versus Wade. It's true, but that makes it sound like there's only one case, Roe versus Wade, in question. But in reality, there's been 48 years of judicial precedent built on that decision, some of it decided by the Supreme Court just 2 years ago. So this Mississippi case is not about some one outlier decision like Roe. It's about nearly 50 years of Supreme Court precedent. Mississippi's trying to overturn 50 years of judicial decisions. And look, 2 years ago, Chief Justice Roberts, who was appointed by George W. Bush, very conservative jurist, he sided with the four so-called liberals on the court, the four justices appointed by Democratic presidents, to strike down Louisiana's restrictions. And that is a hopeful sign. But that was at a point when there were four Democratic appointees to the court who were on record as supporting Roe versus Wade. In particular, Justice Ginsburg was on the court to make up part of that Louisiana majority. She's, of course, no longer on the court, replaced by Amy Coney Barrett. And the question for all of us to be thinking about is there a fifth vote to side with the Chief Justice and Justices Kagan and Sotomayor and Breyer to keep Roe versus Wade and the other 48 years of precedent intact? That's a tough calculus. And here's what I think you can do about it. Because I know it's often disempowering to think about Supreme Court decisions being made in Washington, D.C. But remember how I started. The Supreme Court doesn't have the power to make abortion illegal. It only has the power of judicial review, to review what the political branches, the state legislatures, the Congress are doing and declare it unconstitutional. There are two ways to guarantee a woman's right to choose. One is through the court system, Roe versus Wade, but the second is through Congress. The Congress has something called the preemption power. That's the power to sweep away state laws that are inconsistent with federal policy. Right now, Congress can guarantee abortion rights, reproductive justice to every woman in America by passing a law that says the viability or trimester framework of Roe versus Wade is the law of the land. That would nullify Mississippi's law. It would nullify Texas's law. And most importantly, it's not something that could really be reviewed by the United States Supreme Court. That's a fundamental way to guarantee this. And I urge all of you who care about this issue to write to your members of Congress and pass such a law. That law is pending right now. There's a bill that's been introduced, and we need to pass it as soon as possible. Thank you so much for listening to Courtside. I'll see you next.